Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Michael Cornell is joining us live, Hamburg School Superintendent, as well as Superintendent of the Erie Niagara School Superintendents Association. Michael, seems Hamburg is first to announce plans for a full return of middle and high school students 1 week from today. You must be pretty confident that that transmission rate will allow you to do that.
Well, good morning to you. We're not exactly first. I think Clarence and Williamsville put some stuff out in their communities also. But you know, that aside, I think the numbers seem to be dropping precipitously. I think, we should be under 100 in the next couple of days. I put a little note in the letter that said if for some reason the rates don't follow the trajectory that they seem to be on, we'll course correct. But the most responsible thing for us to do is make good on the unwavering commitment we've been making throughout, which is to provide as much in-person learning as we possibly can according to the guidance. So the guidance allows it. You know, we've been planning for it for months. I mean, the planning for this began in February. It paid great dividends when we were able to bring our elementary students back and then transition, thanks to the teachers, the students, the parents, all of our staff. That transition's been great, not only in Hamburg, but across Western New York. We have every confidence that if the numbers drop, we'll be able to make that transition well. And we do have some level of confidence that the rates are going to drop.
When we talk about reopening for full in-person learning for middle and high schools, exactly what does full in-person learning and this reopening look like? I mean, is it truly back to normal? Is it a little bit different? What does it look like when you're in person and back to learning on Thursday, May 20th?
Well, I mean, I can equate it to the transition or the difference at the elementary level, right? You know, so we had 8 or 9 or 10 kids in a class, depending on the number, the size of the classroom, number of the kids in the class, and we went to 16 or 18 or 20. And our classrooms are able to accommodate those numbers of students at 3 feet at all of our schools, pre-K to 12. And it's, you know, the reality of it is we know that student learning is best when students can do it in person in collaboration with their classmates and learn in the company of our great teachers. And, the first thing I noticed when I walked into our elementary schools on the first day of fully in-person learning, I had noticed the noise. You know, quiet school is bad school. Noisy school is good school. You know, whoever's doing the talking and doing the doing is doing the learning. And the more kids you have talking in a classroom together about the learning and the company of our teachers, the more learning is taking place. Not that learning hasn't been taking place before. Our teachers and students have done a great job in our hybrid models, learning on the off-campus days. But there's just no substitute for in-person learning. So there'll be, you know, we'll have, I mean, 90% of our students, 91% of our students have selected the in-person option throughout. So we're going to have, you know, the overwhelming majority of our students in school in their classes on the 20th, and they'll change classes as they normally would, doing our best to keep 6 feet of distance in the common areas like the guidance requires. will be at 3 feet in the mask in the academic areas as the guidance requires.
Interesting about the noise. I think a very interesting comment there. Now, you mentioned 91% want to be back. So there will still be some remote learners. Are they just going to be logged on and watching in the classroom in real time?
In every school district has done that differently. What we did in Hamburg was we created a fully standalone seventh school for our fully remote learners. So they have their own teachers. They follow their own schedule. It's a school unto itself. We assigned the school its own principal. So we dedicated a lot of time and resources to that endeavor to make sure that that group of learners could come together as a community as best they could. So that the students who are currently enrolled in that fully contained standalone remote school will remain in that. So they have, for them, there'll be no change. They'll just keep doing what they've been doing with their classmates and their teachers in that fully remote environment that we created over the summer for them.
We know this week approval was given for the vaccine for kids as young as 12, and it's expected, but, an unknown timeline of when that's going to open up even further down. All school-age kids may be eligible before the end of the year, before even the next school year. How wary, if at all, are you, though, to making that a barrier to entry for students to, all of a sudden move the goalpost to say, well, now we need vaccination to get into school full time and make this as normal as possible?
Well, it's hard to predict. I'll say two things, two facts that come to mind. The first fact that comes to mind is that there's no research, no science, no experience in the United States or anywhere in the world that establishes vaccination of children as a precondition for having schools be fully reopened and be reopened safely. 61% of the 200 largest school districts in the United States are open fully today. And vaccination of children has not been a precondition for school operating safely, and it's happening around the world. So that's the first fact that I reflect upon when somebody mentions that. The other thing that I reflect upon is the fact that it's taken quite some time. In fact, I don't think we're quite there yet, where the vaccine for adults has been given full authorization by the FDA and the CDC. So I don't know that the state would be able to mandate, even if they wanted to ignore the science and the experience of schools around the country and around the world and mandate a vaccine for kids as a precondition for full reopening. I don't know that they would actually have a fully authorized vaccine for school-age children to base that mandate upon. So those two facts I reflect upon when I think about the answer to that question.
All right, very good. Michael, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We appreciate it.
Okay, you got it. Have a great day.
You too. Michael Cornell, Hamburg School Superintendent and Superintendent of the Erie Niagara School Superintendents Association.